Sarum, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are in the 7th chapter of Sandeha Nivarini. As the 95th year of Bhagwan begins, it is so heartening to know that there are so many people now who have taken so much interest in studying the Vahinis. On the 94th birthday of Bhagwan, in the Sai Kulwant Hall, we had a presentation on the Vahinis and the Sri Sathya Sai Seva organization decided to start the Sri Sathya Sai Vahini Swadhyaya, wherein they have provided a methodology to all the members of the Sathya Sai organization to study, assimilate, internalize the message that Bhagwan has given us in these Vahinis. As Bhagaswami says, study to be steady. And by His grace, we have been studying and steadily progressing in our journey of understanding the Vahinis. In the last few episodes, we have been contemplating on the third segment of the 7th chapter of Sandeha Nivarini. And the 7th chapter has been one where Swami has given us, in very simple points, the essence of His philosophy. You don't have to read volumes of literature for you to make a book of guidelines to follow in your day-to-day life. Swami has done that for us in this chapter. And we have been taking each point that Swami has mentioned here. And every time you feel that every point that Swami has mentioned is so pregnant with meaning that we have to spend time dwelling on each, and that is how our sessions have been going on. In the previous episode, we discussed point number 19. And today, by Swami's grace, we will proceed with the next point, point number 20, that Swami has given us as the tenets of life, which if we practice, then we will know how to attain proximity of the Lord, how to deserve the grace of the Lord, and how we can become near and dear to Him. So let's listen once again to segment 7.3, and then we'll pray to Swami to guide this session. Joining me in the satsang today is Brother Bhargav, who is from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. He works in the administrative block. So let's listen to Bhagwan's writing and then we'll start the session of our discussion.
Fifteen. Try to keep under check the five sins that the body commits: killing, adultery, theft, drinking intoxicants, and meat eating. The sacred life can reach the highest if these can be completely avoided. 16. One must be always vigilant, without a moment's carelessness, against the eight sins that the mind perpetrates: kamam or lust, krodham or anger, lobham or greed, moham or attachment, mada or ego, envy, hatred, and pride. Man's primary duty is to keep all these things at a safe distance. 17. When in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly. During these times, without allowing the mind to go its way, remember the name of the Lord and attempt to do some good deed or the other. Those who do thus will certainly become fit for the grace of the Lord. 18. First, give up the evil tendency to feel envious at the prosperity of others and the desire to harm them. Be happy that others are happy. Sympathize with those who are in adversity and wish for their well-being. This is the sign of God's love present in you. 19. Patience is all the strength that man needs. 20. Those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. 21. It is easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity. 22. Do not respond to the words of the wicked. It is good to keep them at a distance. In fact, do not have any relationship with such people. 23. Seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. 24. No doubt, those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly, those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. 25. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. 26. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. There is no happiness greater than contentment. 27. The evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. 28. Bear with fortitude both loss and grief, and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. 29. When you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. 30. From this moment, avoid all bad habits. Do not delay or postpone. They do not contribute the slightest joy or happiness.
So those are the points that we have taken up in this segment 7.3, and these go up to point number 30, and there are more in this chapter. So going back to what Bhagwan has mentioned in point number 20, because that's what we need to discuss today. 19 was patience is all the strength that man needs, and that's what we spent good amount of time in the previous session. So here Swami is saying, those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds.
Yes, so pertinent it is. Happiness, see, for us, having the sweet Lord with us, happiness, aspiration for any happiness is to see a smile on his face.
Yes.
Our Swami says, a good boy, or chala manchidi, bangaru, or pat on your cheek or a shoulder, yes, you did well.
Yes.
Or I'm very happy with you. So I think any deed which we do, which brings that smile on his face, according to us, will be the index of happiness.
Mm.
So like especially when this point number 20 came, I remembered one incident. One of my batchmates, he had shared a very sweet experience. He was actually here from the undergraduation. I joined for post-graduation. So he had actually shared this with me during his undergraduate days, those 3 years which he studied in Vrindavan. There used to be a very special sessions, you know, about the Trai sessions,
yes,
they call it.
Yeah.
There'll be a small semicircular room where Swami will,
yes,
sit in a jhula, and then there'll be only bliss around.
Very informal, yeah, very, beautiful very sessions with Bhagwan.
So this boy was like, he only had one thought, how to make Swami happy. And then few of the teachers had told that nothing you need to do, just follow the hostel schedule and do whatever help you can in any way you can. So he used to very scrupulously get up in the morning and follow all the schedules, suprabhatam and suprabhatam, it's difficult, you
yes.
know, suprabhatam, and then even suprabhatam, jogging, and then you have this night prayer, you have our studies hours, all these things. Very,
yes,
very sincerely used to follow, and then whenever he had an opportunity to do any seva anywhere, like ringing the bell, to you know, bell rings in so many different...
Serving, doing
so many
this.
Different times in the day.
Yes.
Every small thing, then... making hot water if it's, because generally Vrindavan,
yes,
is cooler.
Yes.
So all these things he used to do. And he used to do very, very matter of fact way. And 3 years passed. Like he was in the final year. And then one fine day, the same three sessions, whenever Swami is in Vrindavan, he generally used to go after Shivaratri. So whenever he was in Vrindavan, he used to call for these three sessions where all boys will be eagerly waiting for.
Yes.
So... In this particular Trai session, Swami was very informally talking about Ramayana and all these things. And then out of the blue, he asked one question. And this boy I'm talking about, he was, if I just describe the jhula room, it's a small, you know, it's a small semicircle, it's a small curved room.
Yes.
So Swami is in one end of the curve and this boy was the other end of the curve. And actually, in a physical way, Swami cannot see you. He was sitting in such a way,
yeah,
in the curve.
Yes.
To the end of the curve from where Swami was sitting. And then Swami actually asked a very, very simple question on Ramayana, which was like, I don't remember, it's a cakewalk for anyone. All raised their hand, they all shouted the answer, and Swami told, if you answer this, I'll give you a prize, I'll give you something special. So all boys just shouted the answer, and someone raised their hands. This was oblivious to what is happening around because he was sitting somewhere in the back. Then there was a hush, there was a silence, and then Swami just leans forward to get this boy in his line of sight. This is that boy. You answered it correctly. No one was clueless who is this boy because he just pointed his finger towards a sea of boys sitting there. So you all that, finally it zeroed down on this boy. Somebody told, yes, you did it, answer, you gave the correct answer, come. This boy was wondering, I never answered him. I never gave any answer. I didn't hear what the question was. I don't know what is happening. So Swami called him, and then as soon as he came, Swami created a beautiful green diamond ring for him. He was,
yes.
And then immediately, as soon as the boys and the teachers and the wardens saw, they were very excited. That they were more happy,
yes,
than Swami. Like, they were more happy than this boy. That, my God, Swami called him and spoke to him. Then the warden sprang up, went to Swami, told Swami, it's a very good boy. He does all the work so scrupulously, so silently. Swami told, I know. Naaku telusunra. I know. So that is why, basically the whole pretext of doing all this drama was to show that this boy is very special. So his only idea was to make Swami happy. And Swami says, not only this, there is something more in store for you. I'm going to take you to, you know, Kodaikanal,
yes,
is so special. Those years.
Once in a lifetime chance.
Yeah, so you will be so close to Swami. Swami told, you're going to come with me for Kodaikanal and be ready. Pack your bags. So what I'm trying to drive home is that if, like his only thought in all those 3 years was how to make Swami happy. What I will do so that Swami will be happy. He used to imagine that, okay, if I do this, Swami will be happy. So Swami actually showed that, and then because of that, whatever deeds he did, or obviously all divine deeds, all good deeds,
yes,
something which was always directed towards the Lord. And then God, Swami in his sweet way, showed him that, yes, what you did is correct. And he responded in his own way. So, presently, I don't think that now also, even when we do something like this, Swami has umpteen number of ways to respond to us, and he will show that, yes, it is me who is responding to your sincere deeds or good deeds, whatever you do. So, this was one thing I thought I'll...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when Swami is saying, those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds, what first occurred to me is, okay, happiness. What is happiness?
Yeah.
Happiness is union with God.
Yes. Right. Swami says so many times.
Yes. Happiness is union with God. So if you do good deeds, you're going to get God.
Yes.
Basically. I mean, that's what so beautifully this example showed. And I think there are any number of instances from our hostel life that we have seen of students where Swami in his own way will encourage the goodness within each one of us. At the same time, I think even in our day-to-day life, even if we cannot relate to the happiness of union with God,
yes,
but I think most of the time we mistake pleasure to be happiness.
Yes.
You know, and I think that is where most of the time we go wrong.
Correct.
We do some things for pleasure. And for pleasure, we may do something which is not good.
Correct.
So, we have to do those kind of acts which will not give pleasure, which will give happiness.
Yes.
And happiness is something that is connected to God.
And I feel happiness, like pleasure is, as you told, it's a very superficial and a very short-lived thing, as Swami says.
Yes.
But happiness is something which probably gives you a deep sense of contentment and satisfaction that I have done something special. So probably that is one more aspect which is there. And then, coming back to, I interrupted you.
Please continue, no problem.
So there's one more thing. I'm reminded of one more very sweet incident. Good deeds, Swami is a tough taskmaster, whatever you say. So good deeds doesn't mean that you do something good, but he always sees the intention also in it.
Absolutely.
And then, what I remember, one of our very senior devotees who was doing seva in our super hospital, he was sharing once, he has been coming from the early 50s and 60s, and those days, the most special event is going to Chitravati with Swami and sitting with him and spending time with him and seeing his divine leelas. So it seems before Swami used to go, he used to send few of these, he used to handpick these devotees and tell them, go clean the Chitravati, that area, so that we'll go and have a session there. So, invariably, whenever they used to go, they used to see a lot of dirt, a lot of sometimes fecal matter, and cow dung, all these things. So, they used to go in the morning, early morning at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and take a small torchlight or something and go and clean and come back. So once what happened, then and after that, the most special thing will be they'll come and stand in under the mandir, the old our Prashantilaya mandir. Swami will come on the balcony and bless all of them, and then that will be so satisfied. Swami has blessed me, and they goes to go back. So once what happened, he got up and told, "Come on, I'm anyway going and cleaning some dirts, something which is dirty, sometimes even fecal matter, all that." So he said, what is there? He just went with some old clothes without taking bath. Because anyway, I'll become dirty. I'll come back and take bath. So with that intention he went. He was sharing this. So they go to Chitravati. They do the cleaning perfectly because God himself is coming to Chitravati for his divine leelas. So they really used to make it spick and span, and they come back. So this particular day, when he comes back and they stand under the balcony, Swami actually comes down to actually receive them and bless them. Okay, you've done a good job. So what Swami does this particular day, he comes to this old devotee and hugs him.
Oh, wow.
And then he gets he's taken aback. Oh my God, I'm not clean. I'm not taken bath. My clothes are dirty. How can Swami come and hug me? He showed that little
hesitation
and discomfort. Swami told, what happened? Why are you going back? Why are you a little hesitant? Swami, I didn't take bath. Swami told, you think that because that work is a little dirty, you can go like that? whatever Swami's work you do, you should go, take bath, put a vibhuti dot on your forehead, wear clean clothes as if you are going for a worship, and then go and do the job. That is what will give me happiness. So he says, I can never forget this incident. Like whatever type of work it can be, when you think that you are doing it for Swami, for the Lord, you should do as if you go to an altar and sit and pray.
Mm-hmm.
When I go for a bhajan, when we go to mandir, we take bath, we put nice vibhuti, and then we wear good clothes. Sometimes do like that. So that's what, the standards which Swami has set. Service means any type of service. When you're telling it is service, it has to be done as a worship. Because Swami says, service is worship, seva is worship. So when you go to an altar to do a bhajan or do a prayer, do a puja, and you're going for any work like this in the name of service, let the attitude be the same.
Yes. Wow. Now, when I think about the scenario today, in society today, we do find a lot of people depressed. In fact, some time back I had done this little program on how to deal with loneliness. Because some time back I read how in UK the government has set up a ministry to deal with loneliness, because they are finding 10 to 20% of the population lonely, and that is becoming a very big health hazard, because once people are lonely, then a lot of diseases they succumb to.
Depression also comes.
Yes, and with depression, other diseases get aggravated. Similarly, 45% of the people above the age of 45 in the United States are feeling lonely and depressed. So, some way they are not feeling happy, all these people, And I think, if you go and ask in our cities, if you just go to any city and ask randomly the youth, are you all happy? Are you happy? I think the answers will be maybe, maybe not. No, I don't think so. I think there are a lot of things going on,
Yeah.
I think we probably will find very, very few people who will say, yeah, I am doing great. I'm really happy. I think very few people probably we'll find, isn't it?
But even those whom you find might be, as you told, they might be falling prey to pleasure, not happiness.
No, so that is what I'm trying to say. That, if so many people are not feeling happy, so going by here, Swami says those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds.
Good deeds.
Which means there's something perhaps that we need to do in our actions so that the result of that will be happy, will give us that happiness. So if we are not in that state of happiness, which means that some of the things perhaps that we have done could not give us this result.
Yes.
And we are probably not learning, and probably we are repeating and doing the same things again and again, because the fundamental tenet of Sanatana Dharma, as Swami says, there are three things that are very much part of the belief system of Hinduism and Sanatana Dharma. And one is the theory of karma. Whatever you experience is whatever you have created for yourself.
Yes.
Second thing is the doctrine of rebirth, and third is the doctrine of avatar. God coming down in a human form. You cannot escape the effects of your actions. In fact, just reminded of Ramayana, where Swami gives this example of how even though gods came down as human beings, they could not escape the consequences of their actions.
Yes.
In the Ramayana, when Mother Sita hears this cries of Maricha, where the demon is crying, Ha Rama, Ha Lakshmana, Ha Sita. And Lakshmana is so sure that these are not Rama's words. Rama is definitely not in danger. This is definitely some tricks being played by this demon Maricha. But for some reason, Sita is not convinced. And even though Rama had told Lakshmana not to leave Sita alone, Sita almost reaches a point of utter frustration.
Yes.
And in that moment, she loses it. so to say, and she says very harsh things to Lakshmana, which it was beyond him to really take those words, and he could not bear that, you know, someone whom he reveres as divine mother speaking such words to me. So Lakshmana had to leave, and we know the story of how he did the Lakshman Rekha and then he left. Swami says that after Ravana was killed, and when Sita had to now again come back to Rama, at that point in time, Rama suddenly says that I cannot accept you.
Mm. Yes.
Sita is brought from the Ashokavana, and but Rama says, no, I have questions on your purity.
Oh my God. Mm. Yes.
Isn't it? We know the story.
Yes.
And she has to go through the fire to prove her purity. In fact, at that point in time, Rama says some harsh words. You know, things like, you know, if you want, you can go and live with anyone you want, you know. Because I'm not comfortable. You were so in someone else's house for so long, you know. And, I mean, on one hand, imagine Sita's plight.
Yes.
But Swami says that she also realized that it was karma coming back.
Mm.
It is because she had spoken to Lakshmana in a manner that she should not have.
Yes.
Knowing fully well the character of Lakshmana. Here, that same thing was coming back to her.
Mm.
And that's why she realized that, so she went through it. And of course came out clean.
Mm.
But Swami gave this example just to let us know how everything that we experience is what we have created for ourselves. Most of the times, whenever something wrong happens to us, whenever something depressing happens to us, something happens to us not in line with our expectations, we start blaming things around us.
Yes.
We start blaming the other person. We start blaming the society. We start blaming if your flight is getting delayed, you are in the airport and the flight has got delayed, then you'll start talking not so nice things about that flight, that
the airport staff.
The airport staff, to that airline, to the Ministry of Civil Aviation, to the government, you know. That's where all our thoughts will go. Why the country, after so many years of independence, could not fix this little thing, you know. Yeah. To who is the managing director, and you know, people will start tweeting. So many things happen. I'm just saying, which is normal sort of response. Very few just sit down and think, it's okay, if I'm going through this, this is what I've created for myself.
Yes.
But I think that is the truth. Whatever we are, if we think, fine, this is what I've created for myself, then I'll be calm. Because I think someone else is responsible for this, I get angry.
Yes, correct.
And if I want that all good things should happen to me, I don't want such things to unfold in my life, then Swami is telling, you also have to create that for yourself.
Mm.
You have to do that kind of good things. Whatever you are experiencing is whatever was there before. As karma has three times, Sanchita karma, Prarabdha karma,
Agami
karma. So Sanchita karma is what is there in the past, whatever you have earned for yourself. Swami says you cannot sow a mango, a lemon seed, and express a mango, expect a mango fruit.
Mm.
So the problem with us is, you know, when we find a lemon fruit, we complain, but we forget that we didn't sow the lemon seed, we sowed a mango seed, and we are expecting a lemon fruit. You're never going to get that. You want a mango fruit, then you have to sow a mango seed. Yeah. So I think those are things that I think with life, as you become more and more conscious to this, then we'll realize that whatever is happening is actually what I created for myself. Many times you will be even able to see the connection with time. You know, when something comes back to you, then you feel, okay, you know what, this is something I created for it myself, you know, sometime back, and that is how it is coming back to me now. I got to be careful.
Yeah, but there is, again, one argument which generally people put forward in these cases is, fatalistic means what? I don't need to do anything about it. Whatever I did, I'm getting it back. So,
yeah. Correct. So, yes, as Swami says, what you experience in life is fate, but what you make out of it is destiny.
Yes. You have to, self-effort.
Self-effort. In fact, I'm reminded of a little story. So there are these two people who went to a sage, and they wanted to know about their future. And the sage said to one that in a year, you're going to become the king.
Mm.
And this man was overjoyed. And the other person, the sage looked at him and, you know, the sage was crestfallen. He said, I'm sorry to say, but in 1 year, you're going to die. You just have one more year to live. Okay. So, one of them was in the...
Ninth heaven,
cloud nine. The other person was in the doldrums. And, you know, they came back. And the person who was supposed to become the king, he thought, wow, you know, I'm going to become the king. So, I don't really, you know, have to do anything, you know. He just was enjoying his life, and he started imagining that he's already the king, and you know how the king would have a lavish lifestyle, and the king, you know, would have all the resources to spend time in luxury and pleasure. So that is how he spent his time, you know, because he just thought that, you know, I don't have to work. Everything is just going to be there for me, you know. So, you're just waiting for that 1 year to conclude as he was having his ball. And the other person thought, okay, this is only 1 year I have with me. These 65 days is all I have. You know, whatever I have done, you know, forget it. But now at least let me do something good. You know, let me try and make best use of these years, these days. And so he started doing service activities. He started trying to help someone. He trying to do whatever he can, you know, just to make up for whatever he has not been
good
able
deeds.
To do. Good deeds.
Mm.
Yes. He tried to do good deeds, you know, whatever he thought was good. So he tried. I think whole world knows what is a good deed, isn't it?
Yes.
We all know, okay, yeah, this is something good.
Mm.
You know, there could be few situations which probably we are not sure, but by and large, I think we all know what is good, what is not.
Because everyone has a conscience.
It will
tell you.
Yeah, conscience. You know, the conscience, yeah, this is, I mean, you don't need someone to tell you if this is a good act or not.
Yes.
I think most of us, you know, in a heart of hearts, we have that feeling. We know, you know. Nobody need to tell us that, you know, if you help someone, it's a good deed, and if you hurt someone, it is not a good deed. I don't think anybody needs to be educated on this. So he started doing things of that nature. 1 year passed, and his situation was the same. Fortunately, he had not died. And this man also realized that 1 year has gone, and he's not become the king. So, what is this? The sage, you know, we are such a revered sage, and we thought, you know, his words come true. Everybody had told, and nothing has happened, you know. And the guy who was supposed to become the king has become, he's really impatient, you know. And this man is just happy, thank God. Every day he wakes up, okay, I'm still breathing, you know. So, they said, you know, they met up again, and they said, let's go back to the sage. You know, 1 year is over, he's not, he has to clarify what's happening. So, as they were going together, they passed through a forest. And suddenly, they were attacked. Attacked by miscreants, by dacoits. And the man who was supposed to become the king, he was a little agile. So, he climbed up a tree. And somehow, he saved himself.
Mm.
But the thieves caught hold of the other man. And they beat him up. And they took whatever he had, little things, and he was gravely injured. He was not
died. He didn't die.
He didn't die. He was just injured. And then the thieves wanted to safely keep all that they had looted till then. So they put everything in a pot. Okay, so it was actually a lot. It was a pot of gold, you know. So they took that pot of gold, they dug a hole under the tree in which this person was supposed to be the king.
Was hiding.
And so they dug and they kept that pot of gold there. They marked that tree, you know. They wanted to come back later and take the stuff. So once the thieves left, then this man came down and he immediately dug because he had seen. So, and he was waiting for wealth to happen to for him, and so he immediately got the gold. And this man, you know, who really had nothing, he was supposed to die, somehow survived, and you know, he barely was able to walk, and somehow he started. And this man is really so happy. The king, you know, was very happy he got the gold. You know, things have started to happen for him. And so then they went to the sage, and the king said, you know what, sage, I have not become the king. And this man said, thank you, sage, you know, I don't know what, but at least I'm still alive. And the sage, and I don't know why this happened to us, you know, we are coming on the way and this happened. And then the sage said, you know what, to the person who's supposed to be the king, he said, you know, don't be so excited and don't congratulate yourself for the pot of gold, because actually you were supposed to become the king. You would have become a king because of what you did for the last whole year, it has got reduced to just a pot of gold. Your kingship has got reduced to just a pot of gold. That's all it is now. And the other person said, be grateful, because of all the good deeds that you did during the year, even though you are supposed to be dead, you are alive, you are fine, you just got a little injured and you are fine now, and you'll have a good life once you start doing again good things. So yes, what we are experiencing is what we have created for ourselves, but how we deal with it and what we do with it now will define our future again.
Yes. Then anyway, coming back to your loneliness thing.
Yes.
So, actually, as you told, yes, you have to look around. You can find so many options, so many ways of doing good deeds or doing things which will make you happy.
Yes.
Or make him happy and in turn make you happy.
Mm.
When you were talking about this loneliness, I remembered. So, there's one devotee who was in Vishakhapatnam. In any small thing which you find around you, you can find an opportunity to do a good deed and get happiness out of it and satisfaction.
Yes.
And it's what I think. The only thing is you need to open your eyes and look around to actually find an opportunity to
do it. Absolutely.
Because when you say I am lonely, Swami always says, when you go and serve someone else, when you go and reach out to someone else, automatically the loneliness reduces and you actually make someone else's life also better. And that gives you added satisfaction and contentment.
Correct.
So, I don't know, he was just walking on the road in a bazaar one day, and then he sees these small birds in cages.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets a thought, a very strange thought, out of the blue, he gets a thought that, why not buy all these? So, because it looks so painful that all of them are caged and they should be free birds. They should be just flying around in the sky and they're caged like this. So he just buys 2-3 cages of small birds and goes in the outskirts of Vishakhapatnam. There's a place called Aruku Valley. It's a beautiful place where it's like a hill station.
Hill station, yes.
A lot of valley and forest. It's a verdant forest. So he goes there and then he was explaining, I was just witness to that when he was talking about it. He says that he opened the cage and then probably took each bird and little bit of vibhuti, he just touched it and then left the bird.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the bird flying off and he felt so happy.
Mm-hmm.
He felt so happy. He felt so contented. Where is Vishakhapatnam, metropolitan city, where is this, somewhere in the countryside, in the wilderness.
Mm.
And then he gets the thought of leaving these birds and leaving them in the in the open. And then he really gets, he feels very happy about it. And then Swami says, when whatever you do, when you get the happiness out of it, you automatically try to want to do it more. And it multiplies. The effect, multiplier effect comes.
Yes.
So he started doing it more and more. And he starts doing it more, and he starts getting more and more joy.
Wow.
So, like, being lonely, the way you told, it's only because I think about Swami says, I
have to just expand yourself a little bit.
Just try to find out, explore.
Yes.
Now you pray to Swami and explore. You might find so many beautiful things to do around you.
Absolutely. In fact, today, when I was just walking back to my room from the office, you know, I just saw so many foreigners, Russians. They were trying to create a garden, you know. In Prashantinilam, we have that umbrella Ganesha.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And umbrella Ganesha is at the entrance of a beautiful garden.
Yes.
And that garden has been formed with the labor of love of so many such beautiful souls. You know, you go inside the umbrella Ganesha garden in the Prashantinilam ashram, you know, you can see a stone terrace, you can see a pond, and you can see beautiful paintings, rock paintings, you know, beautiful images of scenes from Ramayana painted on different stones and all that. So today, when I was going, I saw 5-6 Russians. They have now extended this garden, and, you know, they are collecting nice pebbles, you know, washing these little stones, and they're cleaning that area, and they want to create a very nice natural garden, you know.
There, yeah.
And they were at it the whole day, and in fact, I didn't know that they've been working on it for so many days now, actually.
Okay.
You know, 12, 13 Russians.
Very interesting, yes.
You know. So, when I looked at that, you know, see, nobody is watching them. Nobody is asking them to do that. You know, they're just doing it because of the happiness that they are getting out of it. In fact, if you go to the story of how the umbrella Ganesha came, you know, it was because that whole area was once upon a time just a junkyard. It was just construction was going on, so all this
all the debris, were
debris and everything was thrown there. And there was a couple who were living just in West 6, which is close to that area. And one day they see that there is a lady who is sitting in that area, in that, you know, isolated area, and she's crying. And perhaps, you know, there was some deep pain inside, and, you know, she just wanted a space to connect with Swami, and she's just emptying her heart out. And she was just, you know, talking to Swami and pouring out her pain. And they could see that, you know, this lady just wanted that space to feel connected to Swami, you know. And when they saw this, you know, this couple thought, oh my God, how nice it would be if you can create some space like this. You know, she's sitting in the middle of all debris and trying to do this. But if only we can create a space, a spiritual sanctuary where people can feel connected with God. How nice it would be. And it was just this beautiful thought that led to the creation of the umbrella Ganesha garden. And later on, you know, they got all the statues made, a Jesus statue made, and Buddha statue came, and then the umbrella Ganesha came, you know. So what I'm trying to say is, they had in a way unlocked the secret to happiness.
Yes.
Do good deed and look at the cascading effect. It just gave not happiness only to them, that couple, for generations. I mean, for decades. Whoever has come to Prashantinilam, just imagine the number of people who have smiled just looking at the umbrella Ganesha.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many people, one sight of the umbrella Ganesha, and they just stand there.
They smile, correct.
They just stand there because, you know, this umbrella Ganesha is just holding that umbrella, is like a Vaman avatar, you know. he's a happy-go-lucky, fun Ganesha, you know. And you find as many devotees of the umbrella Ganesha as the main Ganesha, I'm just saying, you know. But just imagine one good deed. The beauty of it is that it will give you not happiness only to you, but you have no idea how it can give happiness to so many more people. And all this will come back to you, you know, because all this will also rebound on you.
Correct.
So, in our pursuit for happiness, in our pursuit to lead a good life, in our pursuit to be enjoy life, I think these are things that we should do. You feel very sad that, you know, someone is not having a good time. You know, as youngsters, you want to enjoy life. Great. Enjoy life. But, you know, please try to do these things.
Also.
Try to do these good things so that you can enjoy life.
Yeah, coming to youngsters again. You're tempting me to tell one more incident.
Okay, sure, please.
and not only that, as you told, if someone does a good deed, if you are witness, it's infectious.
Absolutely.
You get into it.
Absolutely.
You also feel, oh my God, I should also do it. So obviously, one day I was walking past the hostel.
Mm-hmm.
I was coming back in the night sometime. I saw four or five boys. After 8:39, you were not supposed to be outside. Study hours, very strict discipline. You should be inside.
Correct.
I saw four or five boys outside the compound on the main road chasing something around.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little curious to know what is actually happening there. So what they were trying to do was, three boys that side, three boys this side, they're trying to block something. Mm-hmm. So I went closer and found there's a small piglet.
Uh-huh.
Piglet, which got strayed away from its the group, mm-hmm. with mother piglet and all. Mm-hmm. And then I went, what happened? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Then they showed in the other side, mm-hmm. other side of the road, little farther. There's mm-hmm. some few stray dogs are there.
Mm-hmm.
Told, sir, we don't know. Brother, we don't know. If at all we leave it, they might maul it and kill it.
Oh.
So we're just trying to do something so that we save this small piglet. It's a very small, cute piglet, just go button like eyes. So beautiful it was. And then actually, when this happens, I think God or Swami gives you the ingenuity to do something also.
Mm.
So one boy gets a lightning thought. You know, we have, in the hostel, we have those big cans where we put these, our clothes, big plastic cans.
Mm.
So one boy just went inside, got that plastic can, it was empty. And then he told, we'll do something with this. Like they were discussing, how can you do something with this? So, what did it? Very, very sweetly, very softly, he overturns the can on the piglet, and then he puts a small newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you should understand. If it,
yes,
did he drag the newspaper under the under the can, so that what happens? The piglet is arrested inside the can, and then they make it straight. So piglet is already in the can. So the next thing is what to do. It's already here, but if you leave it here, nothing, like, there'll be...
And they have secluded it, but what next?
No, yeah. They
protected it now. They kept it inside the can now.
Can, it's safe.
It's so safe,
then, yeah. Then one of our teachers, Nageshwara sir, comes out and said, what is happening here? Then, I was also very excited. Oh, it's a nice thing happening here. I am trying to explain, sir, they're trying to save. He was also very excited. Yeah, it's a very nice thing to do. Do one thing, there's a scooter there of so-and-so, just pick it up and go. So I told, okay, I volunteered. Let me do that. So myself and came Ganesh brother, both of us. So he held that can. I was riding the scooter, and then some tips from the teachers. No, don't worry. Near the Chitravati Road end somewhere, there's a big horde of pigs will be there. Probably try it there. So we just went with the scooter with came Ganesh sitting behind with the can with the piglet inside. We go to the Chitravati Road end. There, we find a big group of pigs, a pig and small piglets, like huddled together. It was already night, 9:30, 10 it was. So we just go, open the can and leave this piglet. So joyful. All were like rejoicing. Oh my God, rollicking. Oh, someone has
come back.
Piglet has come back. He's gone. Done
brother
some,
has come back.
Yeah, some heroic deed it has done somewhere and come back and go around it. Try to understand probably, okay, what you did, where you went, all that. So, when we saw that, and then the mother piglet was also there, mother pig was, we felt so happy. A small piglet which got strayed away and probably would have, I don't know what would have happened to it. We just went and, like, she went back to her own family. You know, but it's a very small, actually it's a very insignificant thing, it's a small thing to do, might be. But it touched so many of us, the students, the teachers, me, and then research scholars, and all were just jumped into the activity which happened, like the way you told about the umbrella Ganesha. So, yeah, probably even when talking about loneliness, probably if you just go around,
yes,
open your eyes and see,
yes,
this Swami will give you umpteen opportunities to actually,
yes,
do so many good deeds.
Yes.
And as Swami says, Jot se jot jala chalo. If,
yes,
if you actually do something yourself, it might inspire or...
Yes. And in fact, we have no idea of the ramifications,
mm,
of one little good act that you might get into. Like, I'm just saying, if you just even take this example, you know, it could be a very, as you said, a little story. But if I just let my imagination go wild, you know, as you are releasing that piglet, for example, you know, suppose the owner of that pig and piglet was there,
mm,
you know, and if he was worried, you know, what happened to one member is not there, and suppose he had seen you, you know, and he would have come and congratulated you. I'm just saying,
yeah,
it could have happened, you know, and perhaps he was looking for someone to handle one big part of his business. I'm just saying, you know, and you'd say, you know, you are the right man, you know, you have a heart. And I want really someone with a heart. You know, can you handle this business for me? Because, you know, if you can take time out and do this for not even a human being, for a pig.
Mm-hmm.
For a pig, if you have this much love, you know, then I have no problem, you know. I will give you this job. Can you do this job for me?
Yeah.
You know. Or it can just happen that, you know, that person sees you and he remembers you. You know, that your image is there in his mind. And next time, probably you meet him... is probably in a government office and you want to get something done,
yeah,
and he just remembers that here is the man who had actually helped one of my piglets.
Yeah.
And he comes forward and tells, you know, can I get this done for you? Don't worry, I'm there, I'll look after you. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, Swami has his own ways.
Swami, yeah, has his own ways. You know, we have no idea of the ramifications if you just take that initiative to do one selfless act.
Yes.
Because the way happiness comes back to you in so many forms is something magical and miraculous.
Mm.
And I think that is the reason why we should experiment with this.
Yes. And as you told in the beginning only, that we don't need someone to come and teach us or preach us what is good, what is bad. That anyway we all know.
Yes.
Just take a step and do a good deed.
If you really feel good doing it,
yes,
within, and you feel, I can do this, I can go look at Swami's photograph and say, Swami, you know what, I have done this.
Yes.
If you can do this, you know, just go ahead.
That's the best index of doing it, correct?
Yes. Then, you know, just go ahead and do it. And I think that is the way to really enjoy life.
Yes.
And you truly enjoy life because then, you know, your joy actually has no end.
Correct.
Yeah, other joy is, you are actually ending your joy, but if you do this kind of thing, your joys will have no end.
Yes.
And I think that is what, you know, we have seen also with Bhagwan, isn't it? I mean, what was Swami ultimately? It's just a saga of doing good acts. That is all Satya Sai Baba is.
Mm. So beautifully put, correct.
And right from the time Swami was born, what was he trying to do? Constantly trying to see how to bring happiness, how to solve someone's problem, how to create something so that this man smiles, he doesn't have a child, this man does not have, he has a disease, this man needs some help with his business, okay, give him what he wants, and you know, just constantly, I mean, Swami was that son who was just burning himself out every day to see what can he do for every soul in the planet? You, no matter if you are in Africa, in Argentina, or you are in Canberra, wherever you are, Antarctica, that is what gives joy.
Mm.
And if we have to experience even a little of that joy, I think that's what we have to do.
Correct.
And I think that is how... when Swami says happiness is union with God, if only we do these little acts, we don't have to understand any huge concepts. I think,
yes,
you know,
yes,
help ever, hurt never. We just try and just every day think, okay, have I done something today? One good act have I done today? Something that I really feel happy inside. That itself will ensure that, you know, I think every time we do a good act, we should think, ah, okay. So one unit of happiness I'm adding to my life. I don't know how, when it is going to come back, but it is going to come back. It is going to come back. You know, just because we cannot see that connection, we don't sometimes find that motivation. But the interesting thing is, once you start doing it, you will actually see the connection and you'll even find greater motivation.
Yes.
And I think that is something that we should take that inspiration from Bhagavan.
No, but probably I'll add one more thing in this. Like when, because Swami is probably talking to us, so he's telling aspiring for happiness.
Mm.
So, but when Swami says, low aim is crime, you should always aim for what I am.
Absolutely.
Swami never aspires for happiness when he does a good deed. He is happiness.
Yes.
So then, probably first let us aspire for happiness and try to do something.
Yes.
So that with the prayer in our heart that love without duty is divine.
Yes.
Love without duty is divine.
Correct.
Let it just happen without the feeling that, oh, I do this, let me get that unit of happiness. No. I am happiness personified. Whatever I do will be only happiness.
Yes.
But when you, probably that's what we all should actually
absolutely
aspire for, so that we stop aspiring.
Yes, yes. No, I think that is so true. We have to, you know, those who Swami says aspire for happiness. If you ask anybody in the world, do you want to be happy? Everyone will say yes.
Yes.
You know, but
no one will say I want to be sad or
exactly,
sorrowful.
Exactly. It is just that we have to understand what is the happiness.
Yes.
So what is happening most of the time, you know, we aspire for pleasure. We aspire for something very low. So we got to aspire for something more lasting, more enduring and more satisfying and more fulfilling. And I think if we aspire for that, then if you're not aspiring for that, fine, then go ahead and do whatever you want. deal with it.
Yeah.
Deal with it. But if you're really looking for something which is adding to your peace, adding to your joy, really inner joy, then you got to go ahead and be good, see good, do good.
Yes.
As Swami says. Yeah, wonderful. So I think we'll move on to the next one in the next session.
Yeah.
Swami is saying, again, I think, you know, all the points are in a way related.
Yeah. So no, actually, one thing, Bishu Brother, whenever you read this, yes, correct. It's correct. What is like, Swami has told, it's like a dictum. Just follow it.
Follow it.
What to actually think about it. Yeah, correct. Just put it in practice in your life. Yes. That's what Swami is trying to tell.
Yes.
Like every point
of his. Every point, yes, yes. It is just that, you know, you can take even any one point and, you know, that's what I feel. If you just take even one and be sincere, everything else you'll follow everything else also. He's just trying to say the same thing in different words. Yes. Something should strike.
Something
you should connect with at least.
Yes.
So that, you know, you start on this path, and if you've started, then be more steadfast on this path and really march towards more lasting happiness. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much, brother. So, dear listeners, as always, it was really absolute happiness doing this session and like every session is. And as always, do share your moment of happiness as you heard this program. You can write to listener@radioside.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. Let us build this world of happiness. Let us share this journey of constantly being happy. Ultimately, that is the only reason why we are here. If you remember that, then we will ensure that whatever happiness that has come into our life, it will only multiply and become manifold. So do share your journey of happiness with us. So with prayers to Bhagavan and offering this episode at his lotus feet, we'll continue in the next session. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.